Coming to you from the great American Southwest, from our studios in suburban Fort Worth, Texas, this is the Dirt Wasp Podcast. I'm your host, Todd Hulsey. Thanks for joining me today. Hope y'all are doing great out there. Well, this is episode 85, which is kind of curious since I uploaded episode 85 a couple of days ago. But this is a do-over episode. You see, there was something bothering me about that particular episode after I uploaded it. I recorded it, and I made sure it recorded properly, and I uploaded it, and there was just something about it that it bothered me. It really did. I couldn't put my finger on it. And a man who I respect very, very much, Ando Mirsua, of Happy Life Martial Arts, sent me an Instagram message, and he said, "You were spitting fire." And I knew I was ramped up for that, while I was recording that episode. But and I think Ando's message was kind of a cue to me to give it some more thought as to why something bothered me about that episode. I typically don't listen to my episodes once I upload them, but when I was doing paperwork yesterday at my desk, I put it on and I listened to it. And my conclusion was that I would not want to be on that guy's podcast. You know, I dropped an F-bomb. I'm going to tell you, I didn't remember that I did that. I remember that I called an entire vocational class of people a bunch of pricks. I do remember that. I do not remember dropping the F-bomb. And it just was not it was a mean, angry podcast, unworthy of being in the catalog of episodes of the Dirt Wasp Podcast. And another thing, it did a disservice and arguably was disrespectful to every single person who has been a guest on this podcast and who will be a guest on this podcast in the future. So I took down episode 85 and I'm replacing it with this one, which will also be numbered episode 85, assuming the podcast hosting site allows that. Because it just was not the right episode, again, to include in the catalog. The episode is unworthy of this podcast. If you didn't listen to it, I talked about four main subject areas, and that was millennials, the Russia-Ukraine war, the climate change, and our constant crisis way of life. I also wanted to mention that there, and I know one of them listened to the episode, the old episode 85, and if he still comes on the podcast, I'll really appreciate it. But I've got two guests who are pending final scheduling. One is a cardiologist, a practicing cardiologist, who's also a police lieutenant. That's kind of a new one on me. I knew FBI special agents who were medical doctors. I have never known a uniformed police officer who's also a medical doctor. And he and I are going to talk about cardiovascular fitness for public safety personnel. That's fire, police, EMS. And we're going to talk about, you know, why so many people in jobs that require a person to be physically fit to perform them, that so many cops specifically, but also firefighters and EMS personnel, don't work out and they don't take care of their health, and why that is and what can be done to address it. And he'll talk about the organization he's affiliated with, which helps to advance physical fitness amongst public safety personnel, particularly law enforcement. And then another guest, and this is the one who listened to the show, I know from the show stats that it had to be him, is a longtime athlete, U.S. Olympic team, I don't know if he's actually on the U.S. Olympic team at one time or was trained at the Olympic Training Center to be on it, but a long Olympic level athlete who's a longtime martial artist in multiple martial arts, who has a PhD in the history of religion, very intellectual guy, but who also is a Southern California sheriff's deputy. And we're going to talk about his martial art. He currently practices, okay, hate mongers out there, raise your hands, mine are down, but Aikido. But again, the upcoming guest has practiced several different martial arts, and he owns a dojo. It's a non-commercial dojo in which he teaches Aikido, and he I can't put words into his mouth, but he teaches an Aikido that does address the martial side of Aikido. Again, I don't want to put too many adjectives on it. He can describe it for himself, but he's going to talk about his martial art, his experiences as a martial artist, as an athlete, and as a police officer. And we're going to talk specifically about in addition, his empty hand skills for law enforcement. Now, I started in law enforcement in the United States in 1988, and I retired in 2014. I've been to three law enforcement academies. One of them wasn't really worth much, in my opinion. That was the military one, because I was a reserve military officer. The other two, I think, were very, very good. And combining the two together, they were, in my mind, they were very effective in what they taught. But generally speaking, empty hand training for American law enforcement officers is relatively non-existent, and what tends to be taught is unadulterated manure, stuff that doesn't really work on the street. And that's a huge deficit if you're going to be out there on the street. And so this upcoming guest can talk specifically about how he would address that issue in law enforcement. And I don't think it's very different in most countries on planet Earth. And in the liberal Western democracies, police use of force is something that is frowned upon, but is necessary. As I've talked in other venues, is that the word force is inside the word enforcement for law enforcement. So we're going to have these two guests on, and so look for those to be uploaded within the next, I don't know, month or two. Probably two. And I'm also writing a book on warriorship. If you go back to the episode in the catalog on warrior conversing, it's based on the outline I drew up for that episode. And I do want to say tangentially, in that episode, I tried to be funny a couple of times. I made a reference to Ameridote and Master Ken, and a shout out to actor, writer, comedian Matt Page, who plays Master Ken. I inserted an alliteration to Master Ken and Ameridote, and then I talked about a sort of fictional brand of coffee that was an idea I had to actually market, but I, never got any response to that particular currently fictional brand of coffee. I'm still reserving the right to put it on the market and see if anybody buys it, just for grins, if no other reason. I do have a local coffee company that might be willing to do business with me on that, but hope it doesn't take away from the seriousness of the subject matter. But I'm writing a book called A Conversation on Warriorship, and it'll probably take me the rest of this year to get it to where I would want anyone else to look at it. The rough draft is done. So it's not going to be a long book, but hopefully it'll add to the discourse on the topic of warriorship and warriors and what it means to be a warrior and how to be a warrior. And then recapping the episode that I deleted, and I talked about millennials, I talked about being in a subdivision that is not even finished yet. And, you know, I'll be 60 next birthday. We got a lot of young families, though, you know, elementary school kids, middle school kids, some high school kids, a lot of retirees like me, you know, public safety, you got firefighters, police officers, military retired like me in the neighborhood, too. But I think the bulk of the residents in the subdivision are millennials. And I brought the fact they buy an expensive house and then they can't keep up the yard. They can't seem to mow their grass or pick up trash in their yard or, you know, roll back the trash and recycling bins after collection day. You just leave them out at the curb. And I opine that perhaps they're waiting for their parents to come by and do all that stuff for them. I don't know. I did talk at length about how weak we are as a society compared to, say, for example, the World War II generation. I'm not going to recap everything because some of you are listening to this episode who listened to that episode. I don't want to bore you. But when I talked about the Ukraine-Russia war, I said a lot of things about it. But the point was that I don't think long-term Ukraine can beat the Russian bear. There's just the Russian bear is too big and too heavy and will eventually overcome Ukraine. And the Russians are a group of people, a race of people, if you want to call it that. I know that that is not anthropologically correct, but it is a race of people who have suffering built into their DNA. They can take casualties and they can, you know, take horror and societal dislocation and a lot of things they can take, whereas we in the West really don't have a clue and couldn't match, honestly, I don't believe. And they're simply not going to stop until they win. The Russians are in control of the playing field totally. They either have to decide that they're going to stop and go home, or they're going to continue until they finally wear the Ukrainians down. And the Ukrainians keep asking for more and more sophisticated weapon systems to use in their fight against Russia. For example, they wanted tanks, Leopards and M1 Abrams. Well, they got those. Then they asked for F-16s. The UK 2 or 3 days ago said that they're going to consider providing fighter jets to Ukraine. And all this time, Russia has been saying, you're going to go too far and we're going to retaliate. Now, they don't say where that line is, which is smart of them to not indicate where that line is. But they say over and over again that there's a line. And when you cross it, we will hit you. And they've talked about using tactical nuclear weapons. And why wouldn't they? You know, the foreign policy experts in the West, they don't believe that Russia would do that. And you know, some of them hang their hats on Putin and the Russian leadership around him are rational actors who would never use atomic weapons. And I brought up, you know, my thinking is that could be the most rational thing that they decide to do. Who knows? But I think the most likely thing is that we get to the point where we, and I say we as in NATO, pushes Russia too far, and then they strike with conventional weapons. They strike the NATO bases in Poland and maybe other NATO bases in the region, but certainly Poland, and where materiel and weapon systems are being staged to send over the border to Ukraine, and where Ukrainian troops are being trained, they hit those bases. And under the treaty obligations, NATO treaty obligations, an attack on one is an attack on all. And then if we then decide to jump in, we, again, being NATO, decide to jump in, friends, that's World War III. We will not contain that to just a localized military expedition in Ukraine. It's just simply not, it's not going to be that way. In my opinion, I hope I'm wrong. I really do hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. And I think that, again, strategically, Ukraine is trying to draw NATO into the war. You know, I really do. And anyway, I don't want to recast the whole episode, but, you know, Poland has been saying that, you know, we're going to, Putin's not going to stop at Ukraine. He's going to push into Poland. The Chechen leader, Ramzan Kadyrov, has said that publicly last week, that after Ukraine, Poland's next. I mean, we could really be looking at a European war becomes global. I will note that the two world wars of the 20th century both began in Europe. So woe be to all of us if we have World War III. And I talked about climate change also, and what I brought up about that is that we're being told that, you know, human society is going to become extinct. And they keep kind of moving the goalposts. Is it 10 years from now? Is it, you know, 2020, 10 years from 2020? Is it 10 years from 2023? 10 years seems to be a popular number. And I talked about how when I was in elementary school, that we were told in our elementary school science classes that scientists thought a mini ice age was going to descend upon us in the 1970s. And I started first grade in 1970. And then the Arab oil embargo of 1973, which became the oil crisis of 1974, that message was amplified. Well, the mini ice age never came. And then in the 1980s, the big environmental threat was acid rain. You know, rain's bringing down all of the industrial chemicals that have been, you know, discharged into the atmosphere. And that acid rain would come down and it would eat away at anything made of masonry or concrete. And that not only were world historical or world heritage sites like the Pantheon, the Parthenon and the Pantheon too, and the Colosseum, well, these become, you know, just turn into dust before our very eyes. But roads and bridges that have been built in the 20th century, because that's the century of the 1980s, right? 20th century, those would start to fall apart. And then can you imagine bridges just falling down? Well, that didn't happen. And then the next thing was the ozone layer. So you had aerosol spray cans. They had to be banned, right? And maybe that was a good thing. But it was like the ozone layer is going to go away. We're all going to die from solar radiation. So it's going to be a human extinction event. Well, it was in the news recently that the ozone layer has almost repaired itself to be 100% intact. The ozone layer protects us from harmful solar radiation, along with the Earth's magnetic field, of course. So after that, we turned to global warming. And then in the 1999-2000 presidential campaign, you know, Gore v. Bush, I can remember that people were telling us that by 2008, Miami would be underwater, and so would Manhattan. Well, it's 2023, and they're not underwater. And so it went from global warming to, well, climate change. And that's what we've been living with ever since, is climate change. And now every event, weather events, attributed to climate change. It's, there's a hurricane. Oh, climate change. A tornado. Oh, it's climate change. Hey, it rained today. Climate change. Oh, it didn't rain today. Oh, climate change. Ad nauseum. Everything was climate change. And now, and you can look this up for yourself, there are people who are saying things like racism is due to climate change. I mean, it's... And then we have people telling us that if we don't stop climate change, that in 10 years, human society is going to be almost extinct. They've never been right yet. And so I caution against thinking that these threats. Now, is there climate change? Yes, because the geophysical history of planet Earth shows that the climate changes over time. And so, yeah, there's climate change. The question is it anthropomorphic? In other words, is it man-caused? Or this little blip of our period of time, you know, in the 4.8 billion years of existence of planet Earth, that Homo sapiens, who have been walking the planet, scientists say about 300,000 years, that we're really responsible for current climate change. And even if we are, it's something that we need to manage reasonably and rationally. We can't listen to the extreme environmentalists who want us all to, you know, plow fields behind an ox and live in a yurt. There's a lot of problems with modern society, but it wasn't that long ago in which the average person on planet Earth legitimately didn't know where they were going to get their next meal. And, you know, not whether or not it's going to be Burger King or McDonald's today, but whether there's going to be any food at all for the next week. And that wasn't that long ago. So, you know, the existential threat of climate change, I would say if you hear that, throw a few grains of salt that way, because you need to really follow the money. Who's benefiting from that? You know, you research at university, somebody has to fund it. Well, you know, if you tie your research into climate change somehow, you have a better chance of getting it funded than if you don't. And it becomes a self-licking ice cream cone, a big circular affair of, you know, and if I'm a big left-wing bazillionaire philanthropist, why would I fund your research if it doesn't have anything to do with climate change? So then I just can, you know, those actions ramp up this thing, and then it led me into the talk about crises. Everything's a crisis. Turn on the news. You know, everything's a crisis. You know, we have an economic crisis. We have an energy crisis. We have a climate crisis. We have... you know, it depends on the country you're in. Right now in the United States, we're told we have a police brutality crisis. So we have a racism crisis. We have an obesity crisis. We have a hunger crisis. I do want to say, and I didn't say this in the old episode that I just deleted, but the United States of America is probably the fattest country on planet Earth, yet we are bombarded inside our own borders with statistics of how many Americans go hungry every day. And the numbers in my mind don't match up. We're the fattest country on planet Earth. Yet at the same time, we have, like, some of these stats are like 1 in 4 Americans experience hunger. Excuse me? 25% of the United States population experiences hunger, and they're not talking about, oh, gee, I'm hungry, I think I'll go make a sandwich. They're talking about like starvation type of hunger. Yet we're the fattest country on planet Earth. Something ain't making sense here. And again, that's follow the money. But back to the topic of crisis and crises, everything's a crisis. And why is everything a crisis? Because it'll get you to click on the news story. We have this crisis, click here. And there's not that many crises going on. It's all media driven. I'm not saying there are no crises on planet Earth. You know, pick your favorite one, but everything's a crisis. And when everything's a crisis, then, well, you got to figure it, maybe nothing is really a crisis. And those are the topic areas that I covered in the episode. And if you did listen to it, again, it was... nobody asked me to take it down. Nobody suggested that I take it down. Nobody told me to take it down. In fact, the only feedback I got from the episode was from Ando saying you were spitting fire. I got no other feedback from anybody. And Randall Davis, the Kung Fu Conversations podcast, did say when I mentioned I had taken it down, we were communicating via Instagram. He said he liked it, but he's kind of a table pounder himself, but that was after I had taken it down and let him know that I had. And so no feedback from anybody, but again, it was in my head and it was bothering me. There was something wrong with that episode. And after I listened to it yesterday, I thought about it and thought about it. And then this morning, one of the first things I did when I logged on to the computer, in fact, the first thing I did once I logged on to my desktop was delete that episode. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I had an entire list of things to do, including getting a podcast episode put up, and I had 3 hours of sleep the night before, and I was just, you know, grumpy and in a bad mood, and it showed in how that how I came off in that episode. So if, you know, I really hate, if you were offended, I apologize. I don't like to do that kind of stuff, but the episode was unworthy of the catalog of episodes on the Dirt Wasp podcast, so... if you listen to that one and you're listening to this one, I really appreciate you, your patronage, because I'm sure, you know, one or two people who listen to the episode, Colonel Riffs and Rants, probably said, F that guy, I'm not going to listen to his show anymore. And well, that's how it goes. Anyhow, that's it. So, again, stay tuned for a couple of future episodes to pop up here in the next month or two. And, you know, until next time, be well, be safe, and adios.